Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is such a gorgeous, gorgeous Wednesday morning here in Connecticut. The sun is out shining. The trees are so lusciously green. And I'm so excited to be on this broadcast with you this morning. As always, on Wednesday mornings, we focus on the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs and small business people. And it is always such an honor for me to spend this time with you. I want to encourage you, though, to be part of the conversation. I love to hear from you. I enjoy your input and your insight, because we will learn and grow together. And the number you can use to do that is 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. So I look forward to hearing from you this morning on the show. And today we are going to be talking about, are we having the correct conversations with our clients as entrepreneurs? As entrepreneurs, we are always looking to drive business growth, increase our profits, and increase the bottom line. These questions come to mind as I think about the above statement. Should we have more one-on-one conversation with our clients? Does our clients understand what we need, that we need their support and input as we look to expand our business? How can we inspire our clients to give us their idea and suggestions? How can we take full advantage of our loyal customers as we create new products and launch new services? So again, let me hear from you. 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And I want to encourage you, if you are on listening and you know a friend who will enjoy this segment, call them, text them, email them, do what you may, so we can have them to be part of this conversation this morning. I really enjoy when I hear my callers, my listeners call in. And I really, really, really enjoy when you do that. Today, for weeks, I've been talking about having different students here. Well, today is their last day. When I get off the air, I'll be heading to the airport with them. And it was an amazing group of young people. Amazing, amazing group of young people. I really enjoy them. And as of this Monday the 27th of August, I will be going on vacation. So I will be on vacation until the 13th of September. So you will not be hearing me on the air, but I do pray that you will take advantage of all the archive segments that I have here. And then I'll come back rejuvenated the second or third week in September. So that is all for housekeeping this morning. The chat room is up and running, and I look forward to hearing from you. So, again, the number is 646-915-8166. Okay. Yes. Okay, I'm just searching for something here, and I am going to be going into the information today as soon as I just need to find this thing here. Okay. All right, all corrected. All right. So now we are moving right along. And when I get back from vacation, I am going to have some great, great, great news to share. There's some amazing, amazing things is getting ready to unfold in my life. And I know that you are going to be very, very excited for me when I share that news with you. So, I want to start this morning by sharing again from celebrating 365 days of gratitude, because I think it's important, especially for today's segment, when we are speaking about our customers and utilizing their input and everything. We are going to be, I'm sharing from celebrating 365 days of gratitude. Because, you know, a lot of times our blessings is right here, right here. And we are not taking advantage of them. So I want to share the entry This entry comes from Teresa C. Lee, Leah. And the title is Pleasure. I am becoming friends with pleasure. For many years, pleasure eluded me because I was unavailable. I thought I could only be friends with work, with whom I'd become deeply involved, almost to the point of losing myself. Then one day I encountered pleasure, and for a long time I avoided her. But as I got to know her, I found her absolutely delightful. She thought me deep belly laughing. Little by little, our friendship is developing. And I am realizing that I can be friends with both work and pleasure. Work has always been my old standby, but pleasure belongs in my new life. Pleasure helped me see another side of my friend Faith. And together, they introduced me to courage. Courage let me see how compassion could be taught to value myself as well as others, and that her intimacy with the life force could be vulnerability, become intertwined and allied with strength. Faith has shown me that there are many avenues of life to choose from, and that they all lead to healing, meaning, purposefulness, and three, I was born for all along. I am deeply grateful for pleasure. Teresa Celia shows people how to heal, reclaim their lives, and step into authenticity, personal power, get your life back, she suggests and recommends. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, the question today on the table is 6 4 6 9 1. Are we having the right conversation with our customers? I want to welcome guests 329 to the show. I want to welcome guests 330 to the show. So the question is, are we having the right conversation with our customers, our clients, as entrepreneurs? Should we be having more one-on-one conversation with our clients? What's your take on that? Does our clients understand that we need their support and input as we look to expand our business? How can we inspire our clients to give us their idea and suggestions? How can we take full of advantage of our loyal customers as we create new products and launch new service? So, I would love to hear your input into this conversation today. The number to call is 646-915-8166. As an entrepreneur, and I know for me, and I am sure as I speak with other entrepreneurs, we always do not have the amount of capital that is needed to do run an advertising campaign or to do great marketing for our businesses. However, as I planned for this show and researched this, I said, you know something? If we would have more one-on-one, heart-to-heart conversations with our existing clients and customers, that would be a powerful source of marketing for us, because they are doing business with us. They are already satisfied with the services and the products that they are getting from us. Why not involve them in getting the word out? I remember years ago when I did Mary Kay Cosmetics, one of the things that Mary Kay Ash normally says is that if you want the news to go out and you want news to spread, good or bad news, tell a woman. Because what we do as women, we go someplace to do some shopping and we find the best bargain there is. What we do, we get home and we call our girlfriends and we say, hey, such and such is on sale, you know, at this place, and this is what happened, and this is what I got, and this is what I got. And it's the same thing as entrepreneurs. We need to tell our clients what it is we would like for them to do. Because seeing that they are already satisfied, it is not difficult for them to say, well, hey, you know, my coach is Daphne Clark Hudson, and she is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Here are the results that I have gotten from her since I have been working with her. I know that you would really excel by working with her. Why won't you call her up and let her know that Jane Brown told you to call? Now, not only am I going to be excited when that person calls, however, I'm going to call Jane back. I'm going to thank Jane for referring me to that person. And I'm going to offer her an incentive to keep referring me to others. The next thing I can do, I can sit and I can have this one-on-one conversation with my clients and I can ask them, what else would you like to see me include in my business? What do you want me to do differently? What do you want me to add? Are there improvements you would like to see me do on the present things that you are doing? And you jot them down. You know, we can always, always include our clients because they're out there. They're hearing from other people. They are talking with their neighbors, their co-workers, their family members, and they know what is being looked for in the marketplace. So why not let us go ahead and include them in the conversation? Really, it's going to cost us less money for advertisement because it's your customers already who are satisfied with you. They are going out there and they are spreading the news. What is it going to cost you? Just the incentive that you are giving them. And I know that when someone tells me about something that they are satisfied with, it lessens or shortens, really, not lessens. It shortens my decision-making time. I don't have to go into extreme research about it. I don't have to really ponder, you know, whether it's going to be this or whether it's going to be that. Because it is like, by someone else telling me about it, I have an endorsement on the product or on the service. And I am now going with confidence into using that. So give me a call. Let me hear from you if you have tried any of these things that I have suggested, and if you have found any benefits from it. I have a book I bought. You know, I'm always buying books, I tell you. I have this book that says it's from Brian Zekhauser and Aaron Sandusky. And the book is called How the Wise Decide: The Lessons of 21 Extraordinary Leaders. And you know something, if it is done already, we can learn from it. We don't need to always reinvent. We can add to what is already that has already been done, and we can take advantage of that. So here is what they say about the 21 Club. It said, to declare war or not to was the question. John Whitehead knew he would have to make a decision soon. His competitors had already made theirs, and Goldman Sachs was coming under increasing pressure to declare its intentions. For years, Goldman had quietly competed with four other top-tier Wall Street investment banks for the business of America's largest companies. All five banks had been successful enough to make their partners very wealthy. Then Morgan Stanley fired the first shot in a new kind of warfare, agreeing in July 1974 to help International Nickel Company launch a hostile takeover bid for electric storage battery. The unthinkable: one company trying to seize the assets of another through financial force had suddenly become possible. It didn't take long for the fever to become contagious. Corporate executives across the nation were desperate. Many believed they were tapped. Either they took over another company or they faced being taken over. The stocks were enormous and the investments banking clients were willing to pay astronomical fees for help in launching hostile takeovers. Yet amid all the feverish takeover action, the partners at Goldman Sachs could only watch from the sideline. Whitehead, the co-chairman of the firm, hadn't yet given the go-ahead for the firm to advise its own clients on how to launch a hostile takeover. Whitehead knew that helping clients make hostile tender of offers would be enormously lucrative, and anyone not taking part in the merger may risk being relegated to the second tier of the investment banking. Yet, to Whitehead, it didn't seem as if his competitors were really helping their clients. Many of the hostile deals were turning out badly for both the acquirer and the target company. The executives at the acquiring company often left in anger, and the combined company failed to realize the hope for the benefits and the combination. Whitehead believed it just wasn't good business. Whitehead made his decision. Goldman Sachs would not offer its service to any company to make a hostile tender offer. He wanted the firm to be known as the Investment Bank of Integrity. We thought that good ethics was good business, and that in the end, people wanted to deal with the investment banking firm they respected the most, not necessarily the one that was bigger or had the largest share of the market, he says. The repercussions of the decisions and its public announcement were immediate. A client company turned away from Goldman to retain another firm to help it launch a hostile bid. Goldman's competitors were soon posting record profits on the large transaction fees that flowed from hostile deals. Some Goldman partners argued that the firm was leaving enormous potential profits on the table. Junior bankers watched friends at their banks bringing home big bonus checks, but Whitehead remained steadfast. Goldman was the firm of integrity. Then something unusual happened. As word of Goldman's stance spread, companies threatened by hostile bids turned to Goldman as the firm of choice to defend against the unfriendly offers. And that promoted executives at companies that were threatened to look to Goldman for investment banking advice. Too confident the bank wouldn't turn on them in the future. It didn't happen overnight, but Whitehead's decision to stand firm against making hostile offers set it apart from the competitors and created an enormous demand from companies that wanted to do business with a firm of integrity. Whitehead's decision to eschew hostile takeovers and forego the lucrative paychecks has become a Wall Street legend. It cost Goldman at first, but eventually created an aura around the firm that has evaluated it to prominence on Wall Street. Making great decisions isn't easy, yet the cumulative decision we make will largely determine our success. The fact that over 80% of new products fail after launch and over 50% of mergers and acquisitions destroy more value than they create, it is testament of how difficult it is to make and implement decisions in business today. In our first job as managers, we certainly felt enormous pressure to make great decisions, yet we also felt unprepared to make them. Despite our training at Harvard Business School and McKinsey and Company, how did John Whitehead know to make that legendary decision? We didn't know, but we had a powerful urge to tap into that kind of wisdom. And we weren't alone. Glenn Hubbard, just before becoming Dean of Columbia Business School, acknowledged that students at even the best business schools need to better understand the purpose that will be a critical flavor critical factor in their future success. I worry that MBA students here at Columbia or at Harvard Business School and other schools have a great deal of skill mastery and technical mastery, but very little on their identifying opportunity or deciding among alternatives. And those are the things that are probably going to make or break you as a business person. When we couldn't find practical advice on how to make these decisions, we decided to answer a simple question. How do the really successful leaders make the tough calls? This is a very, very important question for us as entrepreneurs, because in order for us to be successful as entrepreneurs, we got to start thinking like these big companies are thinking. So our methods were straightforward. Go to the source. We would find people who had made great decisions consistently and ask them how they did it. Ask enough successful and experienced leaders about their toughest decisions, and surely the essence of decision making would emerge. As it turned out, our first inclination, go to the source, became our first principle, confirmed time and again by many of the leaders we interviewed. This book is the result of our 3-year quest to learn how the wise decide. We sat down with some of the world's most talented and experienced leaders to understand how they make their decisions. Our research captures the hard-earned lessons shared by 21 extraordinary individuals. Based on their own most difficult, important decisions, our wise leaders include John Whitehead of Goldman Sachs, David Maxwell, who is one of two living members of the Fortune magazine, the 10 greatest CEOs of all time, Justice Stephen Breyer of the U.S. Supreme Court, Stephen Sakswarman, chairman and CEO of Blackstone Group, the group-breaking private equity firm. Harvey Gulp, who was responsible for turning around American Express in 1990, and Damon DePore, the remarkable but relatively unknown former chairman and CEO of Sealed Air. Making great decisions comes down to timeless fundamentals. How the wise decide distills the six core decision-making principles that our leaders share and that every manager should know. And I'm going to add every entrepreneur. So I'm telling you, this book is a blessing in disguise. The principles have guided wise leaders across functions and industries and brought them through various crises. The six principles go to the source, fill the room with barbarians, conquer the fear of the risk, make vision your daily guide, listen with purpose, be transparent, aren't complicated, but as you will see in the stories of how these leaders made some of their more critical decisions, it takes extraordinary dedication to these principles to consistently make great decisions. You will also see what a powerful source these principles are for achieving remarkable success. Dermot Dunphy, who you will watch in these pages, transform Sealer from a stumbling 5 million package company to a 3 billion business on the cutting edge of technology, calls decision making the validity of leadership. I want to welcome guest 372 to the show. As Dufy explains, you may have charisma and personality. People may want to follow you, but not for long if they realize you are leading them in the wrong direction. This book is about business theories. Rather, it is a practical guide written for managers by managers that provides the advice we all need to make great decision consistently. Each chapter explores a single principle that is shared by our leaders. We begin each chapter with a short description of the principle, followed by stories to illustrate wise leaders using the principle to make critical decisions. The insights and nuances that emerge from the case studies are complemented by several practical rules that will help you make the principle part of your everyday decision making. Our goal is to accelerate your journey along the path to wise decision making and successful leadership. In these demanding times when Choosing the right direction is critical. You now can turn to principles at the heart of how the wise make decisions. Yes. And as I had said at the beginning of this conversation, yes, this book is, all the stories in this book are from top CEO. But can you imagine if we would take their advice here and apply to our entrepreneurial business? Can you imagine the growth? And yes, you and I, right now, we may not have the opportunity to interview top CEOs from Goldman Sachs and other top-tier corporation in the country or around the world. However, I know if we take the time to go into our present database of clients and customers, we will find, I know we will, find customers in our database that has the same criteria and qualification, and that they will help us to expand our business. This past Monday, I was in New York City with the French student on a field trip, and one of the host families is a professor at one of the local universities here in Connecticut. And the professor and I started a conversation. She's a lovely, lovely woman. And, you know, she was talking to me about my work that I do and my education. And she wanted to know what I did my thesis on and all of that. However, during the conversation, she said to me, "I want to thank you. Because today I learned several things from you on this trip that I am going to be able to use in my classroom." And I said, "Really? What were some of these things?" And she began pointing out, she said, "I admire you, how you are consistent with the rules." She says, "I am someone that believes that rules should be bended. However," she says, "it has come back to haunt me time and time again." And I said to her, "As educators, we got to be consistent." And I said, "Especially when we are working with a diverse population, we got to make sure we are consistent and we are fair. We cannot be doing one thing one time and one thing the other time, one thing for one person and the other thing for the other person. Because especially when we are working with young people, they are going to call us on it. They are going to do their best to hold us accountable." So, and she pointed out some other things. And I'm not saying that to brag on the show. But I'm just saying that around us, in our everyday walk of life, we encounter several individuals that can help us grow, not only personally, but professionally and as business owners and as entrepreneur as well. So go into your database of clients. Choose the top 10, top 5, top 21, top 30 clients, loyal clients. Ask them to have this one-on-one conversation with them. We are already at August. So we have another, 4 months remaining in this year. Let us start having these one-on-one conversation with our clients. And I tell you something, I'm not telling you to do something that I will not be doing. I will be doing the very same for my business. Because I have some great resource that I have left dormant for a long time. So I am not telling you to go in and have these one-on-one conversations with your clients. I am going to be doing the same thing as well. And I look forward to us coming here on these airwaves to share the results that we have found. So let us go out there. Let's have these one-on-one conversations with our clients. And let us begin to embrace the growth that we deserve in our businesses. Let us increase our bottom line. And guys, it does not have to cost us thousands and thousands of dollars. If we go into our database and pull from these resources that we have. Again, if you just joined us, you are listening to Dynamic Daphne on the A New Day radio show. Today's conversation is, are we having the right conversations with our customers? You know, how can we inspire them to help us get the word out? And I'm going to take a brief commercial break, and then I am going to come back and we're going to talk about some ways we can use to inspire our clients to help us grow our business and be our marketing PR people.
SuperFastLinkBuilding.com. The biggest challenge for business owners and entrepreneurs like you is getting your site to show up on the first page of a Google search. It's been reported that Google often changes their search reporting methods multiple times in the same day. That's why you can't use just any search optimization company. The SEO company that you choose has to think fast and move even faster. At SuperFastLinkBuilding.com, we've designed and developed a unique system to start positioning your site closer to the top. Our complex system of websites and blogs, along with our proprietary algorithms, are pushing our clients' sites to page one every day. Your site will never rise on its own. You've got to do something about it. Subscribe today. SuperFastLinkBuilding.com.
All right, the number you can call is 646-915-8166 to be part of this conversation. I want to share one more entry from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude, because gratitude is one of the top components that will help us to inspire our clients to helping us get the word out and to help us growing. So I, not that I'm looking to sell a book. Well, of course, yes, I would love your support on that. But can you imagine presenting one of your clients who is helping you with this amazing book, Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude? It is something that they will have for a lifetime, and every day they can go in there and choose. They are entered by dates of the month, and every day they can choose which one of the gratitudes they want to read. So the next one I'm sharing is from Michael L. Graham. And I am grateful for the woman in my life, for the women in my life, for my mother who taught me how to deeply love and care, for the little girl who gave me my first kiss, for my two daughters, and for she who gave them life, for the three granddaughters who had my heart today, for my choir director, and those who thought my voice once more to sing, for the shepherd of my soul, my most beloved reverend, for my neighbor who is also my dear friend, for the one who loves me now, my sweetest and darling wife, for all the love and joy into my life they bring, I am grateful for the women in my life. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I want to just share the entry for today, and then I'm going to go back to the conversation about how to inspire our clients and how we can have the right conversation with them. Look, listen, and rejoice. Looking within. Within is the fountain of good, and it will never bubble up if you will ever dig. In every now moment, there is something or someone to be grateful for. In this moment, I give myself permission to ease gracefully and luxuriously into my day. In this moment, I pause. I quiet my mind so I can hear. As I listen, I notice the many sounds, not just the ones on the surface. I listen the softer ones beneath the everyday dim of life. As I become quieter, I can even hear my breath, my heart beating, the swoosh of blood as it pumps and pulsates, the nourishing each organ, tissue, and system in my precious body. I love that I am free from my micromanaging my body. She is perfect, knowing exactly what to do and how to do it. She is like an orchestra. Each organ, each intricate system, like an instrument, playing its tune perfectly, rhythmically, harmoniously, into the most beautiful symphony, heart song. This is me, my amazing body. I am grateful for the miracle of life and the miracle of my body. Amelia Paroco, thank you. Amelia is an RN. She teaches clients how to listen to their body and their soul message to reveal their vibrant, beautiful self. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, so please, guest 329, if you have any insight into the conversation, I would love to hear from you. 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. So, how can we inspire? Let me see if that's the question. Yes, we already prove the point why we ought to have one-on-one conversation with our clients. And a lot of times, ego and pride get in the way of us doing that. So remember when I read from the 21 Club and they spoke about be transparent? That's what is going to get us over the hump. So if you have pride and shame and ego that's holding you back, learn how to become transparent. So this will be able to help us, help you talk to your clients and have them help you reach other people. Because let me tell you something, all of our clients know a lot more people than we will ever meet personally. So why not use them to help us reach those people? Now, does our clients understand that we need their support and input as we look to expand our business? I think they will not know unless we take the time to have the one-on-one conversation with them and to let them understand what it is we are doing and be specific what it is we want them to do for us or with us. Don't just say, I need your help. However, I need your help in this area. Here is how you can help me. This is what I would need from you. The reason I need XYZ from you is because of your experience and your involvement with XYZ. We must take the time to let them know what it is we want. Yes, we are looking to expand our business. We are looking to grow. We are looking for more clients and all of that. But here is how you can help me. The other thing I have discover that is important is that we tell them the time frame that we are looking for their support over. Don't just leave it up to them, because know that people have busy lives and it's not that they would not want to do it for you. However, because you did not give them a set time frame in which to get back to you, they figure, okay, when I get to it, I will get to it. So let them know exactly what you want and when you want it. Just to go back a little on the one-on-one conversation. When you have the one-on-one conversations with your clients, ask for feedback. Make sure they understand what you intended for them to understand. The only way you can know that is by asking for their feedback on what you said. Now, I find out that a handwritten note or poetry or anything like that, drawing, artwork, or some craft thing, are a great ways of inspiring our clients. Yes, other gifts are acceptable too. And if you are in the business of service or product, you have some of your own things that you can give them. However, you can go outside and find something else to give them. So if you are somebody that does art, in your spare time, if you make jewelry in your spare time, give them something from that. Every time that they wear that or they display whatever it is that you give them, it is going to be an opportunity for your name to come up. Someone will admire that thing and they're going to say, oh, Daphne, oh, that's beautiful. Oh, yes, and I'm going to say, oh, you know, my coach such and such gave it to me, or my consultant or my doctor so and such gave it to me. And who is she and who is he? And then you get into another conversation. So don't, you know, write a note, create a poem, you know, be creative, because you're going to be around, having them around for a long time. Unless you know the scents that they like, I do not suggest you buy perfume unless you know what it is that they really like. If you know their scent, and if you can research and find out from them in a discreet way, you know, what scents you like, what have you been wearing, and so on, then you can do that. But I know that the poetry, the artwork, the craft, and those things are great gifts. How can we take full advantage of our loyal customers as we create new products and services? Well, we can do so by asking them to be involved. Ask them to be testers. I went to the Javits Center a couple of months ago to a trade show. And there was a lady there that just launched. As a matter of fact, being there at the trade show was kind of her launching for her cosmetic line. And she had used some women as testers for the product. I guess quite a few years they were using it. And she got them involved until even they were part of the name of the company as she launched. So our loyal customers, they are not only loyal because they are spending lots of money with us. They are loyal because they believe and they support what we are doing. And, you know, I know that there are loyal customers who may even be interested in participating deeper by investing in your business. Why wouldn't they? They are enjoying your service. They are enjoying your products. Why wouldn't they want a piece of the action? So don't be afraid to ask. Let your loyal customers know that you are looking for investors. I know you have been with me for a long time, and I want to offer you the opportunity of investing in my company. Once they become investors, they are going to be spreading the word more. Because why? Yes, they want a greater profit. They want a bigger piece of the action. So listen, guys, we are leaving too many things on the table that we are not touching as entrepreneurs. We must be creative in the ways that we are thinking. You know, you often hear they say, think outside of the box. You know, if we look at what we have, we can build from there. And we won't have to be struggling that we don't have marketing dollars. We don't have advertising budget. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have the other. The one thing I have come to realize is that how important collaboration is in my business. I cannot just sit around and do everything by myself. I must collaborate with others. And by collaborating with others, that is how I will be growing my business. I cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone either. So, again, I know I might be repeating myself, but we need to go to the source, which is our database. Look on the people we have there. How long have they been doing business with us? How much money have they spent with us? You know, all those questions. You will know who will be receptive to your conversation if you choose the right people from your database. It is not rocket science. You know, I encourage you to please give me a call here once you start implementing these little tips that I'm giving you. I want to hear from you how they are working for you. You don't need to do them all at once. You just need to start and see which ones will work for you. If you are just joining us, the number to call is 646-915-8166. I think I'm going to start and share a little more from this book, but I'm sure you can go there and you can pick it up too. The book is, I think it's only $25. It's not expensive at all for the wealth of information that is in this book. They could have sold it for $50, $60. And it would still be a great deal. So I think it's $24. The book is called The book is called How the Wise Decide. This is the book, How the Wise Decide. And as I said, it only costs $25 or something. So you can go and pick it up. The authors are I'm not going to try to pronounce her name. It is spelled Z-E-C-K, Zeck Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R, and Aaron Sandusky. All right, you heard me share about the 21 experience, 21 club experience. I want to start sharing from the first chapter, and I hope you can get some insights from it that you can use into growing and expanding and you know, developing your bottom line as an entrepreneur. Go to the source. Go to the source. I mean, this is great advice for us as entrepreneurs. Remember the game you played in kindergarten, in which the class one by one passed on whispered statement? Now, in communication workshop, we call that the telephone. When the last child told out loud what she had heard, it was nothing like that whisper kind of statement. If you are like most people, you are playing a variation of the game every day at the office. Sure, you get authoritative looking reports to report and you sit through detailed PowerPoint presentations, but you are still getting the same kind of distorted and incomplete information. One that you got from your classmates in the kindergarten game. That doesn't mean the information you get in the office isn't useful, but you are not going to the source to get the first-hand information. Far and away, the best kind of information you may argue that you get out of the office occasionally to meet with customers or suppliers to learn what they are thinking. But that isn't what we mean by going to the source. Going to the source is the relentless pursuit of information from the field. It is hard work and it takes a lot of time, every effort and imagination. Do you devote 2/3 of your work time to going to the source as a CEO, as CEO of Medtronic, Bill George did? That's how he got a bloody catheter thrown at him in an operating room and solve a serious problem confronting his company. Do you make more than 400 customers visit each year? That's how Mike Reuters discovered deep in the bowel of a customer's data processing center the need for a new product that revolutionized EMC's fortunes. Do you travel the world studying how your business thrives in radically different environments? Orrin Simit found the solution to expanding Starbucks into untapped markets trucked around in small towns in New Zealand. All three of these successful former CEOs share a passion for developing primary sources of information. It is one of the characteristics that define their success. They went places other CEO didn't and heard things others didn't. They ask a lot of questions and listened carefully to the answers. They not only got the best information, they also got it faster than anyone else. They were able to use that information to make important decisions about how to beat competitors, to market with new products, how to solve critical problems, and what sweeping organizational changes to make for profitable growth. For them, going to the source became a powerful competitive advantage. But how can Mike Reuters make 400 customers visit in a year? How can Bill George spend 2/3 of his time observing complex surgery in an operating theater or talking to Medtronic employees about developing new products or solving problems? The answer is that they value primary source of information enough that they make going to them both priority and routine. Among all the things a CEO can be doing, they have decided that the largest portion of their time is best spent gathering unfiltered observation and conversation required you to be where the action is. Whether it's an operating room or your own factory floor. Making important decisions can be stressful. Information may be skimpy, confusing, and contrary, especially if it becomes to us filtered and diluted through the mindsets of people who think differently than we do. Wise leaders know that they can never have all the information they want. That's why it is critical to have the right information. They know that primary information gives them three major advantages over other kinds of data in reaching the decisions. First, information at the source is unfiltered by others. Organization variably edit and diluted information as it moves from level to level and from one department to another. The result is a presentation or a report that purports to capture the essence of a problem, but that may miss or misinterpret some critical pieces of the information. Decision makers need to supplement this diet with unfiltered data, information straight from the source that hasn't been manipulated or interpreted. Second, information at the source provides subtle details and nuances that gets lost in second or third-hand accounts. Reports and canned presentations lack emotional content, but the fact is that emotions play a large role in business. Without emotions, we can't appreciate the passion of high potential customers or the frustration of an underfunded product development team. It's the decision maker's job to understand what emotions are played and to use that understanding to make the best possible decision. Without face-to-face encounter with the people driving the future of your business, you will miss out on the power of emotional input. Finally, information from the source is critical because it shows us reality. Too often, secondhand information distorts reality enough to give us a false sense of confidence. Only when we see things firsthand, how our product performance that motivates our employees, what a customer really needs to do his job, do we have the breadth and depth of information to make the right decision? Comparing that we have personally seen and heard at the source to all that other information also allows us to put the second information in proper context. The result is better decisions. Primary source are all about you, but you have to think differently about who they are. Going to see your customer is a vital part of learning how your product or service is used and how it can be improved. But most customers' calls involve peer-to-peer contact. CEOs visit CEOs. Salespeople visit salespeople. First person agents, that's the wrong mix. To get the most useful primary information, you have to penetrate much more deeply into your customer's organization to discover the nitty-gritty details about what people on the firing line want from a supplier. The vice president of purchasing for a big hospital has never used a medical device in surgery, but surgeons have, and they have strong opinions. Similarly, a chief information officer isn't likely to have the same perspective on technology needs as the hired manager and one of the company's data processing center. Start looking for primary sources where it is easy to find them in their own company. If you are in sales, for example, when was the last time you visited the credit department to check up on your customers' credit ratings and how they are charged over time? Is product development working on something that might benefit from some input from your customers? Outside your company, there is vast array of potential sources of first-hand information beyond your customers. Think about potential new customers and What about your customers, suppliers and competitors, and be good source of primary information. As our government regulates investors, new reports who cover your industry and academics who study it. Make it a routine part of your job to go to the source, which required a new mindset and realignment of your priorities and the tendencies to pursue first-hand information, whatever it may take you. But if you become as skilled as using this powerful tool as the three leaders were about to meet, you can beat competitors and new markets and generate terrific new product and idea. Guys, we got to leverage the people who we have around us. Our clients. You know, family members are great too. However, if they are not using our products or our services, they are not as beneficial to us as we would want them to be. So don't feel obligated to be seeking advice from your family members unless they are deeply involved in your business and are using your products. The bloody catheter. You heard me mention in a couple paragraphs ago how one of the CEOs got a bloody catheter tossed at him. So, let me share this story for you. It was turning into a long, frustrating day for Bill George as he cooled his heel in the corridor of New York City massive Lenox Hill Hospital. Know that one very well. George recently appointed the president and chief operating officer of Medtronic Inc., a Minneapolis medical equipment manufacturer, was spending his first 90 days on the job learning about his company's products firsthand in the operating room. But today's procedure, an angioplastic using one of Mitrotonic balloon catheters, had been delayed for hours while technicians scramble to repair the fluorescent scope that would show the doctor the route to guide the small balloon into the patient's clogged arteries. The Goff German-American cardiologist that George would observe was furious that his busy schedule was being disrupted. Finally, the fluorescent was fixed and the operation could begin. George, gowned and gloved, stood a few steps back from the operating table where the patient lay, swathed in sterilized sheet. But soon after the doctor inserted the balloon catheter into the patient's femoral artery, the device fell apart in his hands. Ever so carefully, the surgeon withdrew the catheter from the patient. Then, with ill-concealed rage, He hurled the bloody device at George, who ducked just in time to avoid being smashed in the face. The operation resumed, with this time with competitor's catheter. George had been aware of Medtronic catheter sales hasn't what they should have been. The company was losing market share, and the sales source had been complaining about product quality. The engineers had said the product was fine and getting better. Maybe the sales force was just looking for an excuse for not doing their job, he had thought. Now, shaken by what he had seen, George sat down with the Microtonic sales rep who had been with him in the operating room. The rep told him that the problem he had just witnessed was an isolated incident. The catheters had been failing with disturbing frequency. All the sales rep knew that, he said, and they had all filed and required company's report. But George hadn't known it, and he wanted to know why hadn't he known it. He returned to his office in Minneapolis. He began investigating how information about the catheters got reported to headquarters. What he found was Torius path that routed the sales rep. Reports about failed catheters through several layers of bureaucracy before they reached the people who designed the product. Then George questioned the engineers about the reports. They denied that any design flaws existed and blamed the cardiologist for misusing the equipment. Wow. His investigation of the catheter failure led George to two conclusions. First, there clearly was a problem with the quality of the catheters. He had seen the problem with his own eyes and been shocked by the incident, and had been brought to the ruined device back to headquarters in his luggage. It's an overstatement, but filed reports are in dime a dozen, George said. There is no emotional association with them. But when you are in a medical environment, like an operating room, all your senses, sight, sound, smell, taste are working. It is totally different experience than reading a filed report. Second, and more important, there was something dangerously wrong with Medtronic's ability to handle critical information. It was a systematic problem, he explained. What was wrong was that the system wasn't getting quality information from the operating room to engineer, quality control, and manufacturing. The people who could fix the problem, people didn't want to pass on bad news. The engineers can be in denial about a problem. George immediately ordered up a solution in the systematic problem without a Within a few months, the Catita sales force was split from the Medtronic centralized sales operation and attached to the Catita division. Their sales were in much closer contract with engineering, quality control, and manufacturing. At the same time, people ordered, George ordered engineers to get out of their offices and spend at least a day a month in operating rooms observing how the equipment were designed, their design was used. A few engineers complained to him that they were too busy to waste time watching doctors. I said, if that's the case, you are working on the wrong things. George calls his traumatic experience in the Lenox Hill operating room a power of one observation. That single catheter failure crystallized the problems confronting Medtronic in a way that no report could, but George wasn't basing his decision to overhaul the catheter business on that one experience. Instead, he knew about the business. He was able to see not only the flaws in the catheter, but also the flaws in how Medtronic handled information. Other power of one observation sparked more changes at Medtronic. One day, George was watching a surgeon implanting an early version of Medtronic defibrillator, a device that restores normal rhythm to a wildly beating heart. The device was large and the electronodes were delicate. The surgeon was having difficulty fitting the defibrillator into the patient's chest cavity. Finally, he pushed hard, and suddenly, blood was everywhere. The surgeon was perforated, had just perforated an artery. Whew! Surgeons are good at cutting. They are strong, both in personal and physical strength. He was trying to force the device when that was needed was the refined touch of a cardiologist. George says, the patient survived, but Medtronic technicians began focusing on making smaller defibrillator that cardiologists could easily implant without having to do depending in invasive surgery. Wow. Then there was the day George spent in Loma Linda Hospital pacemaking follow-up clinic, where patients were recently implanted pacemakers come to make sure they are working properly. George had understood that first why the cardiologist at the Loma Lima insisted he sent several hours in the cram office that he observed was mass confusion. Each brand of pacemaker and each model require a different monitoring instrument. Which brand and model did the patient have? Where's the monitor of that one? It was crazy, he said. He returned to headquarters and told the technical staff that he had witnessed. They immediately set out to develop a smaller monitor that could be used with one Medtronic pacemaker or defibrillator. Inexperiencing or yet to be developed, I develop, conceptualize it. I just bought back the information and they took it and ran with it. The first was totally informative, he says. As the leader of the technology sophisticated manufacturing company that literally saves lives every day, Bill George used power of one observation to make critical decisions about the products that are Medtronic LifeBound. These observations show him not only how to fix faulty products, but also faulty organizations. And they gave him the insights that spur the development of new products. Before competitors saw the potential, George went to primary source time and time again because he knew he did have enough information from the source to make those decisions intelligently. At lower levels, command decisions come down to following a set of rules. Things are quantifiable, and you need to know that the numbers are telling you. He says, but the higher you go up, and the more important the decision becomes, the more those decisions depend on the power of one observation. You take away a lot of unquantifiable impressions. That way, where you are in the retail business, visiting stores, or you are in the automotive industry, noticing the different cars' handles. George power of one observation certainly paid off handsomely for Medtronic during his 12 years of leadership from 1989 to 2001. The company's market capitalization soared from $1.1 billion to $60 billion. Averaging 35% growth per year. Doc Emash, I want to welcome you to the show. Now, please feel free to include yourself in the conversation. What's your take on the question of, are we having the right conversation with our clients? Please, you are welcome to call in 646-915-8166 and share your insights on the topic. Let us know some things that you have been doing and whether or not you are indeed having the right conversation and if this is helping you in your growth. The growth of your business. The number to call is 646-915-8166. So please give us a call. Let me hear from you, Doc Emah. I also want to encourage you, listeners, this Sunday evening at 7 p.m., I'm having a phenomenal guest on it's he is out of Texas, and we are going to be talking about the lessons in our adversities, and we are also going to be talking about how being still, remaining still not only vocally, but in our bodies, how that enhances learning and our advantage. So I'm looking forward to have a full house. I want to have the switchboard light up, because he's going to be praying for people. He's going to be answering questions from people. So call in. Join us Sunday evening. And I have a caller now. I am going to go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 0668. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Good morning. This is Dr. Ima. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Ima. I am wonderful. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from Tennessee.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I want to thank you for being on the show. It's the first I've seen you here, so I always am excited to have new listeners.
Yes, ma'am. I have a show on Blog Talk as well.
Okay, great.
Yes, and I was trying to change the shows. I've been going to certain shows, so just broadening my awareness of the different conversations that are taking
wonderful.
Place.
Wonderful, wonderful. And what's your show about, Doc Ima?
My show is about self-empowerment and the understanding of the name of the show. It's called the Save a Ho Live Show.
All right.
And so, ma'am.
No, go ahead. Because that's the focus of my work too, empowerment. And on Sundays, as you probably just heard me mention, I'm doing a show with a special guest from Texas. But on Wednesdays, I focus on the empowerment, inspiration, and education of entrepreneurs and small business people.
Yes, and I have a small business by profession. I am a pilotologist, and I have been proclaimed as the world's best pie baker.
The world's best pie baker. Ooh, listen to you.
Yes,
what kind of pies do you make?
Well, our number one pie is called Glory Hallelujah. Make you want to shout and tell the world what it's all about.
It is a
phenomenal combination of spices with a crumb topping, lemon glaze, and the main ingredient is pears.
Ooh, it looks like you're going to have to ship me a pie to Connecticut.
I would love to.
Listen to you. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, and so we have a pie called the Nubian Delight, a taste treat in every bite. It's a very decadent chocolate pies with walnuts.
Mm. You know, Doc Iman, just listening to you now, I think this show was just created today for you. The reason I say that is because a few weeks now I've not been booking guests way in ahead of time, and I have been depending on the Spirit to tell me the conversations that we need to have.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I can only talk about me. I know, other than I doing my local TV show and my radio show here on Blog Talk, I have not been marketing my business the way that it should be marketed. And one of the things that the Spirit has showed me, Doc Ima, is that all you need to do is to talk to your customers. You have loyal customers. Why aren't you having in-depth conversations one-on-one with them? Because if they are loyal customers, it means they believe in you and they support what you're doing. Have you found that statement to be so in your own business?
Yes, ma'am. And, in thinking on what you're saying, I think as small business owners, where we are the major component, is just not enough time in the day to take away from that time to do the marketing and engaging with our customers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lack of knowledge of mm-hmm. the various communication devices.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get older, and I'm speaking for myself,
mm-hmm.
I just don't want to deal with all that. You know what I'm saying?
How
to figure out Twitter and the texting, and I just started texting.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
And so I found that through texting, the power of that was you didn't have to get into negative dialogue with people. You know,
mm-hmm,
you just
mm-hmm.
keep it short and simple.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have a lot of verbiage, you know, and
mm-hmm.
then people can misconstrue something that you're saying.
Hallelujah. You're saying the right thing. Before you go, I want you to write your link in the chat room for me so I can go over and follow you and support your show. And I
okay.
want you to follow me and do the same thing, too.
Yes,
but you
I'm
know
following
what you're
you
saying, too? You sound like me. I'm from the old school, and I am getting out there. However, I'm not utilizing all that there is out there to be utilized. And I'm telling you, we need to stop thinking like Lone Rangers. And we need to collaborate with each other and leverage what each other's strength. Because let's say you brought texting up. If there's somebody who is very proficient in texting and you are just getting into texting, there's no reason why we should not be able to help each other out. And this is why, if we look in our customer base, there are people there who are savvy and can help us over those humps. But they're not helping us, Doc Iman, because we have not asked for their help.
Exactly. Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yes, and sometimes we don't know what we really need because
that's it.
Mind is so discombobulation.
That's right.
Discombobulated with the day-to-day process.
That's
of
right, my
survival.
Bro. That's right. That's what, you know, when you go back and listen to the show from the beginning, you're going to hear I mentioned some of those things. The question I asked was, does our customers really know everything there is to know about our business? They don't know because we don't take the time to tell them. We are so busy chasing the almighty dollar, and we are quick to tell them the cost of something, but we are not explaining to them how they can help us. How
yes.
can they help us? We got to take the time to talk to them so they know. And when they find that out, we're going to find we really don't need the thousands of dollars to do the marketing campaign because we have our customers who already help us. I'm telling you, if we have loyal customers who are helping us, there's no reason why we cannot be generous in offering them a 50% on service because we are making it up back on the references that they're giving us anyhow.
Exactly. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. One of the things, you know, I do a lot of vending now because my storefront is down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to use my talents to bring into existence things that are necessary that do not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have this vision of a creativity center.
Mm.
Where our children and everybody is welcome, this great big space,
mm-hmm.
and we begin to create from our hands, our minds.
I would love to talk to you off the air. Yep, you sound like we have a lot in common. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. And so this vision came through a lot of recent events that took place in my life, and I was thinking, it came when I went on, my computer was having a problem, so I went to HP. So they have this school and they teach, you know, graphics, and I was looking at all this, and it took me back to my children.
Mm-hmm.
When they had, you know, they would draw and, you know, little pictures and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And way back then, you know, I thought that that would be awesome if we produced our children's art and made cards and so forth to encourage the spirit of entrepreneurship, freedom, and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of us do not learn the same way.
That's right. That's right. And I was talking to the same thing Monday to a professor I was on a trip with. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we have to find a way to change instead of always taking the victim side.
And
but
not
then,
only change, but be more inclusive.
Yes.
Knowing that not only my way is right and not only your way is right, but collaboratively, both ways can be super.
Yes. And so we complain about the school system, but look at what we have today. Most states have homeschooling.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So there is no, you know, and then with the charter schools, so there's no need to continuously play the blame game or victimship.
That's
so
right.
So we need to empower ourselves so that we may empower others to empower others.
That's
and
right,
my brother. Freely bring forth our gifts.
That's right.
Because
that's
we all have God gifts, skills, talents, and abilities, and education. We all are educated by the way of life. It's not so much about those degrees and titles, because that do not speak to who you are.
That's
and
right.
Just because you may have a PhD, that
that's
don't
right.
mean that you're doing what you went to school to do.
That's right now. That's right. And that's
and
why people have to stop playing that blame game. You know, I didn't do this. I don't. My mother didn't do this. My father didn't do that. Forget about it. They did the best they could. What
exactly.
are you doing right now?
Yes, exactly. And I'm having a show coming on at 12, and it's called Whatever. And I have followed you, and you can click on my name, go to my BTR profile, and
can
then
you
follow
put your please put your link in the chat room for me.
Okay, and I would love for you to come on. So these are books you wrote, Gratitude Book Project.
Yeah, yes, I'm a contributing author to Gratitude and Conversation on Success. The only reason is your show every Wednesday.
No, ma'am. I have a show that come on every Friday. Well, it's really Saturday morning at 1:30 a.m. Central
Lord.
Time.
I was thinking I'm bad with you up at that time of the morning. I might be able to join you very briefly because I have to take a group of teenagers to the airport. They are going back home to France.
Okay.
And I have to go down to catch the coach to go with them to the airport.
Okay.
So
well, then
I,
another time, you know, I would love to have you on the show because
I would love to be a guest. And I am writing your phone number down because I would really like to speak with you off the air.
Yes, ma'am.
And to
please
see
do.
Because I have been looking for some shows that can give me an opportunity to be a guest too. I'm so busy doing mine, and I don't get any opportunity to talk to other audiences.
Have you been to the Caribbean show?
No.
Caribbean Radio?
No.
Okay, that's Dr. V, and they have a group of different listeners. So when you follow me, you will see those other shows that I am, you know, following.
Are they from Texas?
No, they, let's see, I don't know where they are. They're from different parts of the world. They have, their own radio.
I think years ago I had I forget the name of the gentleman who was the producer there. I think years ago I spoke with him.
Okay. A
couple of years ago, I think so. But I look and make sure it's the same one that we're talking about.
Okay.
Good. Yes, I see your link now. So I'll go on there and I'll follow you and I'll follow you on Twitter and things. So I thank you for calling in. I want to give you a few minutes just to give a closing remark. Why did you choose to listen to the show today?
I was led by spirit. And spirit. And, you know, your name, Dynamic Daphne. So I said, well, let me go check this out.
Where are you from originally?
Originally, I'm from Illinois.
Okay. All right now.
Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
Southside.
One of my favorite states. Yeah, nice. You know,
yeah.
I have to, I will keep in touch with you. Is this number a good number for me to get you on?
Yes, ma'am. Excellent.
Okay, I wrote it down, and I am going to follow up, not today because I have to go to the airport, as I say, but I want to have dialogue with you off the air and see how we can add value with each other.
Exactly. That sounds perfect.
This is what the world we live in now. We must help each other out.
Yes. Yes,
and to add value and look for opportunities. Look for opportunities because we are hungry because we are not collaborating. But if we find out, if we begin to collaborate, when I have a glass of water, my brother and my sister will have a glass of water too. So
yes, ma'am.
Well, I know you came on. It was just a few moments, but I hope that something that was said here today, you have got some value out of it.
Exactly. You know, the conversation and the connection with like mind is awesome. You know, it's, you know, you can't even put a value on it. It's priceless.
That's true.
And so I thank you, Dr. Daphne, for allowing me to have a few moments with you, and thank you for doing your show. And you just
and
stay
tell,
encouraged.
Yeah, tell people again when your show is the link. I'm going to read the link. It's blogtalkradio.com/ Dr. Doctor EMAH-SARAH. So today they're having a show at 12 o'clock, what, Eastern, what time? Eastern?
Central.
Okay, 12 o'clock Central time. So check them out there and support and listen to what they are saying. And yes, I was giving you an opportunity to tell people when your show is and what you deal with, my brother.
Well, thank you so much. I have a heavy voice. A lot of people think I'm a man.
Oh my God! I apologize.
That is okay. That's okay.
No, it's not okay. You know what I learned from that? No, I am going to be sure to ask people for their gender. I apologize. So you are a female. I apologize.
Yes, I am very much a female. And you know we are whoa man, so I know I have
100%
that masculine
female.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other side can come out when it's necessary.
I'm liking you already, my sister.
I say woe to the man that don't step in the plan.
Yeah.
And,
yes. Well, you know I'm so thankful that the time to call today, and I'll be following up with you on the phone.
All right, sister, and it's such
right.
a pleasure, and may
pleasure
the rest
here.
Of your life be
God
the best
bless.
Of your life.
Thank you.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
God bless you as well. Peace.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
Grab it in your spirit and say this.